Good morning, car guys and car gals. This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And this is Fred Lenartz, the subprime hero.
And we are here with a very special guest, and you are definitely going to want to hear about what she's brewing.
Yes, you are. We have Katie Maris. She's here all the way from Baja right now. She's having a great time. Yeah. As you can see, she's at the beach. She's enjoying life to the fullest like you're supposed to. And this is something that you all need to learn a little bit about, how you do this. So before we do that,
get you some of this.
And we're still just getting a third question right now.
Broke up a little bit.
So this, you know, we do.
All right.
This episode is going to be really nice. We're releasing this next week, and you're going to be able to see this. We're going to have it on every social media stream you can imagine. It'll be on all podcasts, and then we'll also have it on YouTube. But my next question for you, and you know, I know that you mentioned what you've done in the past. You know, you worked for a shoe company for a little while. You did that,
yes.
You were in a game, and then you worked your way up into the car. Now, I shouldn't say up. It's a cross platform because people buy shoes, people buy cars. All right.
Yeah.
Shoes are amazing. I'm a huge shoe guy. I'm a sneaker guy. I'm not necessarily a dress shoe guy. I do have dress shoes, and I love my dress shoes. But I love sneakers. I collect, you know, custom sneakers and all that type of stuff. Don't know why.
Cool.
Just because I was a kid, I've always loved shoes. But that being said,
awesome.
So I love that world. That world's a great world, but. What brought you into the car business? What made you say, hey, you know, I want to go into the automotive realm? You know, I was in this, now I'm going to go into that. What brought you there?
I had, as I was mentioning, I had a really, am I allowed to like use profanity?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had a really shitty car buying experience. Okay. So it was just, I can't even say it was really shitty. And essentially, and it's actually the introduction or the preface of my book is the story. Of my experience, and I'll never forget it. I was getting, at this time I was married, and it was a hot Saturday in July, and in Toronto that's a hot steamy Saturday because we get so humid. So it's like 40 degrees. I don't know what that is in like almost 100, like around there, like mid 90s. Yeah. So so we pile everyone into the one Nissan Rogue that we have. At the time, my twins were 6 and my little one was 3, and we had one family vehicle, and I was done. Like, people had soccer and hockey and dance and gymnastics, and we all went to grocery stores together, and mom never had any freedom. So I was like, screw this. I'm done. We're having another car. So we pile into my Nissan Rogue, and we take off to the auto mall, and we get to the auto mall, and I look at my kids, my ex and I at the time turn around and look at my kids and say, okay, we give them the please behave speech, right? We're going to go into this dealership. I want you to stay beside mommy. We're going to look at a vehicle. Like, I wanted to purchase a car that day. And I'll ask you, what dealership do you think I went to? What would you think the first dealership I went to?
If I was to guess, because you were driving a Nissan and you're looking for a third row, I'm going to guess?
Yes.
So then you probably went to a, Chevy? Because they have a lot of third row. Oh, my gosh. I'm so off.
I went to Nissan because that's the car that I had. That's the brand that I was last with.
I was going to say that at first.
Yeah.
No, went to Nissan. I used to run a new Nissan store. I helped open one up in the city right down the street from us, the one I live in.
Amazing. Well, so I went in and I was looking at the Pathfinder, right? So the third row, and I would have even been okay with a bigger Murano or something, but I went in there. So anyway, so I walked in and my kids beelined it, opened the dealership doors, and they totally ignored the please behave speech and the fact that they told us that they would behave. And I just realized you can totally see my unmade bed in the background. Anyway, welcome to my life. So
you are at a beach. You're supposed to have an unmade bed. Come on, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I didn't even know if I could do that.
We're keeping it real.
We're keeping it real.
This is as real as it gets. But anyway. So I went in and my kids, you know, of course, bolted. And all I could hear is car door slamming. And as a mom, my first thought is little fingers, metal doors, right? So you're super worried about that. So I'm darting around trying to rally them into one vehicle. And I could see out of the corner of my eye, my husband at the time was already being spoken to. It was 18 minutes before somebody, a young gentleman sauntered over to me. And what I mean by sauntered, it was kind of like the, like a scene, like a slow motion scene in a movie where he was like, oh my goodness, I actually have to help this lady with these three crazy kids. And so he comes on over and he is darting his eyes between me and the vehicle my kids are in and back and forth. And he looks at me, he's like, well, what are you doing here? It's a Saturday afternoon. What do you think I'm doing here? I just wanted my kids to come into the dealership. I'm here to buy a car, which was crazy. And then the next question out of his mouth was, is your husband here?
Oh, no.
And I was,
I want to see the face. What was the face?
Like, I was like, is this real? Is this real? And I said, well, yes, he's over there. But before I could tell him that I was purchasing the vehicle, because I actually own the Nissan Rogue and I own the next vehicle, I purchased both vehicles.
Right.
He cut me off and said, well, should we call him over?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I tell you, I've been in the sales, car sales for almost 18 years now. I learned very fast that the decision maker is never the husband.
No, it's the woman.
It's 99% of the time. Now you get, maybe if you get to that 60-year-old or older age group, maybe it's a little different, but my generation or anywhere around it, it's the woman. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, and here's the thing. She, whether she's buying it or not, she's influencing the purchase.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Either way, yeah. It is the woman, but actually women outbuy men. Women in North America buy 65% of all new vehicles.
So we
actually outpurchase men. So yeah. I was purchasing this vehicle, not him, me. So I said to this sales associate that was super annoyed with me and my kids, I said, I'm actually the one purchasing the vehicle, but I won't be purchasing it from you. And I rounded my kids up. I walked out the dealership door and my husband followed me in tow. We got into the car. He didn't even say anything. He looked at me and said, okay, where to next? I visited about, you know, 7 dealerships that day and I got roughly the same experience. So it was that, those experiences that after, you know, 3-4 years of being in a single family vehicle, it was time to have another one. That made me think, first of all, this is the second largest purchase any human being is going to make in their life, yeah, other than a home. And for millennials, it's the largest because they're renting homes. So they're not really even making purchases. And so I'm like being a brand experience expert. I get a better experience from my $200 pair of jeans that I go buy at Aritzia than I do from purchasing a vehicle.
That's crazy.
Right. And then I thought, but as a woman, I couldn't believe that this gender inequality still exists. Mm. Like I couldn't believe it. And so that's what sent me down this tailspin of research on the automotive industry, which led to just women in general, which led to my book. But when I was researching the auto industry, I decided to put a keynote together and I started applying to speak at conferences. And that's how I got into the industry. I've never sold a car and I'm on stage, and I'll say this, the first few minutes that I'm on stage, I don't pretend to have sold a car. I have no idea. I don't know what they go through. I don't know what it's like to be in the box or the pen or the whatever you call it in F&I. I don't know what it's like to be a service advisor, but the one thing I do know is what it's like to be a customer of the industry. Mm. And that is the lens they need to look through. You're because, right. And you guys are car guys. I hate to break it to you, but you don't matter. Your perception of the experience doesn't matter. It's only the perception of the customer that matters.
Come on. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, when you put together an amusement park, you're not putting it on so that the people that are working the rides are very amazed. You're putting it on so that the people that ride the rides have an incredible experience.
You said it earlier. It's the clients. You know, you said who here depends on their clients to make money, mm-hmm, and everyone put their hand up. So if those are the ones that pay you, if they are the ones that you're serving, then serve them the way they want to be served. Serve them the right way.
Amen.
And that's great. You jumping in at the right time. I think the world's starting to get a little bit more woke on things like that, especially in the car business. I think that the problem, and that's why we wanted to do this. There's a lot of
thing is.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say my message isn't new. Like, no. It's not new, but it's that we've forgotten how to be human, especially in this digital age. We have forgotten that, you know, even in the car industry, you think you look at, I mean, it's still stuck in the dinosaur age. There's some really progressive dealers. Don't get me wrong. Like I have worked with the Young Automotive Group, which has about 18 stores. They're going to double in size in the next few years out in Utah. I've worked with the New Car Dealer Associations of Utah. I've worked with the Dolly Group. I've worked with some really progressive groups. So I'm not saying that all dealers are the same because they're not. Sure. But there are a lot of, even Volvo, like I've worked with Volvo. Volvo's ready to expand on the OE, on the customer experience. You know, they realizing that that's so important. So there are progressive OEs. There are progressive dealers. So I don't want my message to be, oh, well, this girl thinks that no one's great. But for those that are stuck in the dinosaur age, the thing that they should be stuck on is the fact that how they, you know, because they're all grandfathered in, right? So how their father or their grandfather ran the dealership, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago, the thing that they started it on, the thing that made them successful was relationships, humans. So if we're going to get stuck in the dinosaur age, if we're going to hold on to something that was done a million years ago, hold on to that.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Hold on to the ability to create relationship. You look at, you know, Dale Carnegie, you look at Napoleon Hill, you look at anybody who is the originator of ideas, because we're all not the originator of ideas.
No anymore. One
Nobody
is.
Has
we
anything just, original.
We all still,
no one.
We still and borrow and we reuse. Yeah,
recycle. And we change the words and we put some stories that are personal to it. And I make a living off doing that, 100%.
It's your own brew.
That's what it's about. Yeah.
Right. But my message isn't any different. But if we were to go all the way back and even back to the Bible, you know, we've been talking about from the beginning of time, the original message, if we could hang on to something, hang on to that. Because if we focus on that, then everything else will follow. Oh, like it's truly that simple. And so that is how I got into the industry, is that I saw a need for a fresh version of the message. And to bring men along, you ask, you know, who my targeted client is, or my targeted person to read my book. It's men. Mm-hmm. It's doing it in a way that makes men feel comfortable, that I'm not here to berate them or make them or sound naggy or whatever, you know, women seem to, the persona that women get, right?
You're there to upgrade them. They're to upgrade them.
You're just trying to teach people how to earn her business, you know, and.
Well, that's all it is.
And it makes sense. You know, you're trying to just open up the man's eye to understand how to look through it like a woman, you know,
just a person that cares.
A person that cares. There you go. I shouldn't say a woman. But yeah, I respect that.
And the thing that makes me most happy. The thing that makes me most happy is, I mean, yeah, so I want businesses to have success. But when I have men who have attended a talk or have, you know, read, I've sent a copy of my book or have seen me online or read any of my articles, when they come to me and they say, like, I've actually had men say, you fixed my marriage. Oh, like, I understand my wife better. Because of you, I get this. And these are big, I mean, like any talk or research or any workshop that I do, I literally have the phone call saying, I tried this, we're in an argument, and I tried what you said, and the argument went away. Mm-hmm. And I understand her better, and she's happier. So if I can help gentlemen make, I mean, happy wife, happy life, right? So if I can help them have a healthier and happier relationship, that I believe that if people are going to just try to change for business, it's going to be bullshit, excuse my language, because nothing's really going to change for good. I mean, they say, you know, when you a New Year's resolution that lasts 3 weeks, you're not making a life change. You're trying to force yourself into something you don't believe in. So if any of my information that I share, and this goes back to inspiring positive actionable change, I want it to help people change in their lives, because when it changes in their lives, then it affects every other aspect of their life. So when you can change personally, you can change professionally, but you can't just change professionally and have personal success.
Wow, that's strong. Hit your chest one time for me real quick. Everybody listening to that, make sure that you feel that heartbeat, because she is hitting the heart and making sure that you guys are feeling it. I mean, this is how we have to actually be. Like a good cup of coffee, you want to feel it, right? You want to feel it upshift you. You want to feel it uplift you. You want to feel yourself get energized by something that could either be bitter or be used to make you be better. And that's the entire reason why we have her on the show. We were talking earlier about successes and how it is that we look at successes. So I want to say this real quick, just to blow some wind inside of your sail. Katie, you are a success, and we are continuing to evolve success story. So, right, we are to be living epistles, living mm-hmm. success stories that are constantly going from glory to glory, success to success. So I want to help you. Remember, if this is what you were targeting, you got two car guys sitting inside of a show, and you are giving us the encouragement and the wisdom it takes to be better at what it is that we do, and along with the audience that we're sharing this mm-hmm. with. So that is one success that only gets better, only gets stronger, only gets more in bloom. And those fruit that come from what it is that we're growing turns into more seeds that become more growth, more fruit, so on and so forth. And it's exciting to keep doing mm-hmm. that. And you were quoting some people earlier, some key people. I mean, from Carnegie to Henry Ford, we can go all over the spectrum of people that have helped not mm-hmm. just build our country or our new way of thinking of industry, but there's still people that are doing that now. Those connections mm-hmm. and thoughts and ideas are being rebirthed again now to another level, right? And mm-hmm. I think the biggest plague that has hurt generational dealerships is that, like you said, they didn't quite have the heart that initially was there in the beginning. No. They just inherited something and didn't know how to care for it, right? Didn't know where, why, with the blood, sweat, and tears and effort and skill and talent that went into mm-hmm. building that, they took it on and just, I want to maintain this, so let me, again, plug the holes and do the system. Well, there has to be a shift now in order to even reach the customer for commodities that you reach mm-hmm. their heart. You have to reach mm-hmm. their heart. And now that we are making that shift and millennials are becoming by far the largest in consumer population, yep. very, right. very
currently
soon.
Currently they are. Yeah.
Going
within
crazy.
The next 5 years, it's going to be like 80 to 90%, or 80% of it, I think. Yeah, so it's going to be mm-hmm. crazy.
And because of the way that we interact with digital, the way people feel things is different. You know, you have to really have substance in order to be felt. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's yep. just very easy to scroll by and you don't pay attention mm-hmm. to you. But you have had key things that have happened and influenced you over the time. So we're going to lead this into question number 4.